Daniel chapter 12. We got down through verse number 4. And really from verse 5 on to the end of the chapter is really the conclusion of the book. All right, I'm just about there, turning everything I got to this chapter. If you recall, chapter 11 dealt primarily with political and religious aspects of the time of the end, where chapter 12 relates this now to the, in particular, to the nation of Israel. Because the tribulation period is mainly going to be for the nation of Israel. The whole world's involved, the whole world will be judged, but specifically God intends for his people, Israel, to turn back to him, and they will. At the close of the tribulation, Romans 11:26, all Israel shall be saved. We, of course, read about the tribulation. The tribulation is referred to as early as Deuteronomy chapter 4 in verse number 30, beginning with the abomination of desolation, which is a reference to the breaking of the covenant and the desecration of the temple, which we saw in Daniel 9 and verse number 27. We looked at Daniel 11, 36 through the first three verses of chapter 12. We looked at some information about Antichrist, and we have looked at passages in other parts of the Word of God that talk about Antichrist and what he will be like, and how he will be empowered, and what he will do during his time of power, which will be brief. We saw in verse number 1, the first part of the verse here in Daniel 12, the tribulation of Israel. Second part of verse number 1, the deliverance of Israel. Verse number 2, the resurrection of Israel. And then verse number 3, the reward of Israel. This morning we will start with verse number 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. Other two what? Angels. Angels. Back in chapter 10, we saw angels by the river Tigris. Same thing here. Continuation of that thought. The one on this side of the bank of the river, again the Tigris, the other on that side, or the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, and which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And we find the tribulation, the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, often referred to as a time, times and a half. Time, times and a half would be 3.5 years. Remember, the total tribulation is 7 years. Last part's called the Great Tribulation. It's 3.5 years. And of course, that will be brought in by the desecration of the temple by Antichrist himself. Time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So the time of the end, verses 5 through 8, it's obvious as we read on that God did not intend for Daniel to fully understand all this. Up till this point, he pretty much understood everything, whether by divine revelation directly to him or by angels explaining things to him. But Daniel was able to interpret even like the dream of one of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. But at this point, God said, no, it's not for you to know everything right now. The primary purpose of The revelation is to inform those living in the time of the end. So those that will be alive during the tribulation, most of the revelation, most of what is sealed up here will be intended or is intended for those who will be alive during the tribulation. We talked about how in verse number four. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. All right, time of the end, that's the actual time of the tribulation period. Time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We often take that to mean in the last days, like right now, we see knowledge increasing. Bill just showed me some pictures of his grandfather who flew in World War I. Now, planes have come a long way from World War I, you know, 1917-ish till now, 100 years later. Oh my, look what's flying around now. But that's not what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about the time of the end, the tribulation period, how those living during that time will be going, running to and fro, looking here and looking there, trying to find answers. Where the answer is going to be found? In the Word of God, right? And so that's what that passage is talking about. Primary purpose is to inform those living in the time of the end, which will include two results. And we see that, look at verse number 9. He said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. There's that same statement again. The full meaning will be revealed at that time. Many shall be purified. So one result will be the purification of the saints, the ones that are alive at that time, the time of the tribulation. What do you mean purified? Well, many of them, if not most, that are saved during the tribulation will die for their faith. They will be martyrs. And they will be made white. Speaks of holiness, salvation, deliverance. But the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul wrote, he said, but the natural or the unsaved man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither shall they know them, for they are spiritually discerned or judged. So those, remember, Paul also wrote to the Thessalonian believers that those who heard a clear presentation of the gospel that happened to live into the tribulation period will be deceived and believe a lie. So there'll be no one saved during the tribulation that knew enough truth, understood enough truth to be saved before it, if they happen to be alive. That's what's referred to here as well. None of the wicked shall understand. The wicked, the unsaved, will do what unsaved people do. If they have been deceived, that cannot change. Purification of the saints, and then the second result will be the manifestation of the true character of the wicked. Because the true character of the wicked stems from the condition of their hearts. The Lord said, as he described the wicked, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, theft, covetousness, deceit, lasciviousness, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. He said all these evil things come from within and defile the man. And unless God intervenes, we know what we were, right? And we know that when God revealed to us that we are sinners that needed a Savior, and he brought us to the place of saving faith, and we trusted Christ. He took the initiative. God did, right? If he hadn't, we'd still be lost in our sins, wouldn't we? He goes on in verse number 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, This is the midpoint of the tribulation. When persecution is stepped up, it'll be even worse than it was in the beginning. And the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, wait a minute. 3.5 years is 1,260 days, right? Well, there's 30 extra days here. Well, there's some speculation of what that could entail. It could be that the extra 30 days will be used for Christ to establish his kingdom and also for the judgment of nations, which is found in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, the judgment of nations, and also the regathering and the judgment of the nation of Israel. That's talked about in Ezekiel 20, verses 33 through 38. The extra 30 days, 1,290 instead of 1,260, could be for the establishment of Christ's kingdom, the judgment of nations, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, and also the regathering and judgment of Israel at Ezekiel 20, verses 33 through 38. And then we read in verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Now we have even more days. 1,335 days. So that's, let's see, you have, how many extra days is that? You got 30 from the last verse, and you got, is that 75? Anyway, what are those extra days for? That could be to actually set up the government of the millennium. We don't know. It's speculation. There's a couple of guesses why there are extra days there. I mean, it's going to take time, though time in eternity is not going to matter. We're still, during the millennium, time will still matter. Because how long does the millennium last? 1,000 years, right? That's a millennium. 1,000 means 1,000. So time is still measured. Until after the millennium, then we live with him forever and ever and ever. Now, the millennium is, for the child of God, the start of eternity, really. Because we're never going to leave his presence. Actually, the rapture is, right? When we're raptured and we're with him, that's forever. Don't look so excited. That's forever. Okay, any questions about chapter 12 or comments? All right, I was going to look up the Matthew 25 and Ezekiel 20, but I'm going to let you do that so we can get into the conclusion that you were just handed. Did everybody get one? Were there any left? Did you hand me any? No, okay. What we've done is taken for a conclusion, talked about Daniel, really, and applied all of what we looked at to the person of Daniel. The introduction to study, introduction to this conclusion, to study the history and prophecies of Daniel is interesting and exciting. Seeing God's hand at work in the history of nations is awesome. But it is at least equally important to see and understand the life that Daniel lived. He lived an extraordinary life, didn't he? Daniel, like Joseph, was taken from his homeland and handed over to a foreign government. Both were tested. Both were lied about, both were falsely accused, yet both stayed true to God and became trusted leaders in their respective nations. And Daniel, of course, went from Babylon even into the Medo-Persian Empire as well, and was in leadership in both, promoted in both. What Daniel wrote encouraged his people in the years following their release from captivity, and will also lift them up in the future persecution from their enemies, not only in the tribulation, but all throughout their history. Israel has been one of the most persecuted nations in the world. And even when they were scattered and lived in various portions of the world, we all know about the Holocaust, right? And that's not the only time that they were persecuted. And they continue to be persecuted. As we read in Daniel 1:8, Daniel was a man of resolve. And wouldn't hurt to go back and look at that great verse. It's one of the greatest in the book of Daniel, describing the man that Daniel was at this point, a teenager. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Remember, the word purpose means he was determined. He had made up his mind. He was resolved that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, who was Ashpenaz, that he might not defile himself. And then I listed several things, some things that made Daniel what and who he was. He believed in God's sovereignty. And what I'm going to do is, rather than read all these, I'd like for you to help me out. And if I could get some volunteers, I'm just going to give you letter A, for instance. You look up the verses involved there and read them. When we get to B, you look up Daniel 2, 14 through 23 and 6, 10, etc. on down. And then I will read 1, 2, 3, 4. I will read the points. Okay, everybody understand? So who will take letter A, Daniel 4, verse 25, 32, and 521? Do I have a volunteer to read those? Thank you. All right, now hang on before you read. I'm going to hand them all out first. How about B, Daniel 2, 14 through 23 and 6:10? Becca? C, Daniel 9, 2, just one verse, Daniel 9, 2. Rhonda, okay. How about letter D, Daniel 10, 12 and 13. Daniel 10, 12 and 13. George? And then E, Daniel 2, 28 and 30. 2, 28 and 30. Nancy? And letter F, Daniel 6, 1 through 5. All right, Kelly? And the last two don't have any verses going along with it. So that's it. All right. Marla.
Okay.
Daniel 4, 25, 32, 5, 21.
But they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of the heavens, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will. And then 32.
Yes.
32 says, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heavens, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will.
All right, thank you. So, from those passages, as well as many others in the book of Daniel, we are reminded that Daniel believed in the sovereignty of Almighty God. It was, number one of the basic truths taught in Daniel, that God rules in the kingdom of men. We know that God sets up kings, and he puts down kings according to his will and purpose. Also, Daniel, as a devout Jew, knew that there was only one true God. Number three, Daniel knew that God allowed all that had happened to him to happen. And so he didn't get angry with God, he didn't get bitter with God, he didn't blame God, he knew God had a perfect will, and he was delighted to be in the center of that perfect will. Great lesson for us. And then number four, Daniel knew that surrender to God and his will was not slavery, but the beginning of freedom. And Psalm 119:45, let me see. Psalm 119, let me go ahead and read that. 119:45, and I will walk at liberty. Literally at liberty, there is a wide place. In a wide place. For I seek thy precepts. He said, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The word of God. All right, then Daniel 2, letter B, Daniel 2, 14 through 23, and 6:10. All right. Thank you, Becca. All right. So not only did he believe in the sovereignty of God, but he also believed in prayer. As was his custom as a Jew, he prayed at 9 in the morning. He prayed at noon. He prayed at 3 in the afternoon. He continued to do that. He was not ashamed. He was not afraid. He never stopped doing what God wanted him to do, even though he could have died. He could have been killed. And certainly his enemies tried everything they could to get rid of him. Daniel prayed often for God's wisdom and guidance. He depended upon prayer. Often we only pray as a last resort. When everything else fails, then we pray. Daniel didn't take that approach. Moody said, Jesus never taught his apostles how to preach, but only how to pray. Isn't that interesting? There's no recorded scripture that I'm aware of that shows Jesus saying, okay, men, let me teach you how to preach. But he sure did teach him how to pray, didn't he? Then letter C, he studied and believed in God's word. Daniel 9:2.
In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem.
All right. Thank you, Rhonda. That's... Not only did he believe in God's sovereignty and believed in prayer, but he studied and believed in God's word. As he was reading the word of God in the book of Jeremiah, he was reading a scroll, Jeremiah, and he was reminded that 70 years was the length of the captivity of Babylon. And so he said, oh my, and he began to confess his sins, the sins of the people. And, of course, he prayed back to God, the word of God, which God sometimes is delighted in, that, number one, we read it and that we believe it. And so we recite it back to God in honor of the fact we agree that it is God's word. So prayer and the word of God go together. Acts 6:4, that's what many consider to be the first deacons chosen. And the apostles said, we really don't have time to serve tables. We're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so Daniel believed in prayer and the word of God. He studied to understand the will of God and obey it. When Daniel read Jeremiah, he began to pray that God would forgive his people and fulfill his promises, which of course God did. Then letter D, believed in spiritual warfare, Daniel 10, 12 through 13. Who has that one? George? Okay.
And he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I have come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia.
All right. Thank you, George. So he believed in the sovereignty of God. He believed in prayer. He believed in and studied God's word. He also believed in spiritual warfare. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read of the armor of God. The armor of God that allows us to withstand our enemy, the devil himself, and those, of course, under Satan's dominion, which would be demons. And we are able to stand. And not only stand, but we're able to go forward and win victories. But we need prayer warriors, number two, to seek under God to tear down the strongholds that block God's truth from getting into the minds of believers. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. And also, I think 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's either 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that talks about the fact that Satan blinds or seeks to blind the minds of those that would believe. Letter E, he believed in giving all glory to God. Daniel 2, 28 and 30.
Verse 28 says, Nancy. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. And verse 30 says, but as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind.
Amen. All right, thank you, Nancy. And then 48 and 49, I didn't see those listed there. Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So Daniel did not forget his friends. He ignored the compliments and offered gifts by Belshazzar in the fifth chapter, and he always, above all else, sought to honor God. All right, and then F, he believed he had a special work to do. Daniel 6, 1 through 5. Who has that one?
Please, Darius, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princess might give account to them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.
All right, thank you. So he believed that he had a special work to do. Both Daniel and Joseph, neither one complained about their lot in life because they believed that God had a special plan for their lives. The question is, do we believe that God has a special plan for our lives? We should, because he does. And it won't be over until we either are with him or we lose the capacity to be able to do what he wants us to do. And of course, God's in control of that as well. He was faithful and dependable. God blessed and promoted him. He was a government official, but also a prophet who was greatly used of God. Letter G, believed in a peaceful, considerate approach. Daniel was very influential during the reign of four different kings. He never threatened. He never used force. He never made accusations. He didn't resort to a hunger strike. Some say he did in chapter 1. No, that wasn't a hunger strike. He didn't argue with those in charge. He just asked, hey, would you let us try just eating vegetables and drinking water? Then, you know, like, it'll be a test. And if after the test, 10 days from now, check us out. And if we're failing in health, if we're losing weight, then we will do what you want us to do. He won the respect and admiration of those in charge. A holier-than-thou attitude never does work. Daniel lived up to his name. God is my judge is what his name means. He lived before the all-seeing eyes of God and did what pleased him. He didn't worry about what others thought, including the king. And that's how Paul lived as well. He said, I'm not doing what I do to please men, but I'm doing what I do to please God. He faithfully delivered God's message without fear. He knew that his life and reputation were in the Lord's hands. He was greatly beloved of God, just like John the Apostle in the New Testament. And principles meant more to Daniel than the praise of men. He had firmness of purpose. And it should not just be true of a prophet, a preacher, a missionary, or whatever. It should be true of every child of God that we live by principle, not overwhelmed by what people think. Because the normal response of people is criticism. It's just a normal response. I have never, ever, ever, ever had someone call me to gossip in a positive way about somebody. Hey, did you hear that so-and-so got promoted? Isn't that awesome? No, it's instead, hey, did you hear that so-and-so ran off with the secretary? You see what I mean? Isn't that normally what, when the phone rings, if it's gossip, it's not going to be positive. It's going to be negative. Well, Daniel was not overly concerned about what others thought. Okay, so that's the book of Daniel. Any questions?